Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, all you do, going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 167 new confirmed cases, COVID cases, that is. Taraba had 109 cases. Taraba. Mm-hmm. Lagos had 17. You know what to do by now. Keep limiting your movement. Wear a mask whenever you are out and about. Whenever I wear my mask out, people continue to look at me like I'm insane. But Omo, it's better to be looked at like you're insane than to get the virus, right? So when you're out and about or around people, make sure you have your mask on. Give gap. Keep your distance. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands. You know the drill by now. I just serve as a reminder for you every day on this show. Second hard fact of the day, COVID-19 vaccines are available. Go and get your first dose at any primary healthcare center closest to you and go back to the same place you got your first dose for your second dose, all right? There's no need to worry about getting the second dose after you get the first one, especially if the first one was rough for you. So you had a headache or you had a fever or you had things like that. It's absolutely normal with vaccines. So just go back, get your second dose so that you are fully protected against COVID-19. And thank you so much for tuning into the show every day. I have a great show for you as always. Let's talk about yesterday's NSAS memorial marches across the country. Then let's talk about Lai Mohammed saying that nobody was killed at the toll gate. And then let's talk about the terror attack on the Abuja-Kaduna railway line. After that, we'll bring you League of Extraordinary Nigerians, and then we'll bring you Eyewitness, where you tell us what's happening in your part of Lagos. On today's Big Hard Fact, we'll talk about the NSAS movement 1 year later. We'll look back at last year's protests. We'll also look at the current state of policing and how government has responded to the demonstrators' demands. 5 p.m. Don't miss that conversation. You and I, right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Expect news, business, and sports at the top of the hour, every hour. Lagosa will happen at 6:15 after the news at 6. Lisa Lagosian with Ireti Bakari Yusuf will also happen today at 6:30. But let's get started with the big three. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
This is
Hard Facts
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Did the NSAS memorial marches go well? Did the NSAS memorial marches go well? Should Lai Mohammed have called the Lekki shooting a phantom massacre? Should he have done that? Are the armed groups in the northeast, northwest, terrorists, or are they bandits? Those are your big three, Lagos. Let's talk. For our first story, I recommend that you watch our live stream because there's a lot of footage that we have that I would like to show you. For those of you who did not participate in the march, the processions yesterday, those of you who also may not have seen the footage for yourself online or watched it on TV or wherever, we have footage after footage after footage that I would like to show you as we continue talking about NSAR's memorial on this show. In cities all over Nigeria yesterday, people of all ages were on the streets to mark the one-year anniversary of the Lekki Tollgate shooting. In Lagos, the main event was at the Lekki Tollgate itself. Nigerians gathered there peacefully to remember the fallen from a year ago. They drove through the toll gate. If you're watching our live stream, you're seeing that at the moment. Our live stream is Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also check out, of course, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. That's our YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. So they drove through the toll gates, waving their Nigerian flags and honking their horns. Some of them also came on foot, but the police were there. They were arresting protesters or trying to arrest several protesters. On Hard Facts, Emmanuel Onwuka from our news team told us what he saw. If you missed that conversation, well, here it is as well.
Beginning from this morning, what we saw was that there were a lot of police men stationed at the Lekki Tollgate. We've seen that since Monday. They've been there since like Monday, and they've been guarding that place against any gathering.
Okay.
So this morning, we had a few persons go to the tollgate this morning alone and on foot, and they were apprehended by the police, by policemen stationed there.
So police officers apprehended some protesters?
Yes, about two of them this morning. Moving forward, at about 8:30 thereabouts, we had a car procession of protesters. They were coming out through the windows of their vehicles, shouting NSARS, singing solidarity songs, and they were moving from the Lekki Tollgate down to the Lekki roundabout and back to the Lekki Tollgate all about. So they'll turn at the entrance to the Oriental Hotel and then back to Lekki roundabout, just like that. So they kept moving back and forth without stopping at any point. However, as the procession continued, there was a massive traffic at the Lekki roundabout, stopping the protesters from moving forward. Do you understand? Stopping the protesters from moving forward.
So what was responsible for this stoppage?
I can't tell right now.
Okay.
I really can't tell right now. But I knew that there was traffic there.
Okay.
And stopped the protesters exactly at the toll gate.
Okay.
So because of the traffic, the protesters couldn't move forward. So a lot of them were stuck in the traffic. And what happened was that a lot of them got out of their cars and started granting press interviews and started granting, started talking to every one of us that was out there covering it. And in that way, others that saw that they were granting press interviews came down from their vehicles and joined us. So the whole place was crowded. And from there, it became a march.
Okay.
So it was no longer a car procession per se. It became a march, and it kept moving from one place to the others. The policemen were trying to do their work, according to them, you know, trying to do their work and tell them to go back into their vehicles, but nobody was budging. Nobody listened to them. They kept moving back and forth, and then at about 10:55, at exactly 10:55, a policeman came to the protesters, while they were granting a press interview, and said, if you people don't leave now, you will not be able to hold me for what is going to happen next.
A police officer said this.
Now, a police officer said that you will not be able to hold me for what's going to happen next. I advise you to leave now. You've exceeded the time. And the next thing, he moved back with his men and got to a safe point. I knew trouble was coming, and I just looked for a safe place to stand close to them. And the next thing was, they started tearing the tear gas canisters from the wrappers and putting them into the guns meant to shoot the canisters. And they started firing tear gas, and everybody started running from there. And the game changed immediately, because at the point in time they were shooting the canisters, they began picking up anybody that they felt was a protester at that very point in time.
Hmm.
So anybody that was a protester, they started picking the person up. As they were running, anybody they could lay their hand on, anybody who received the flag, they would just hold the person there and pick the person into their vans.
Did this result into some sort of stampede?
Yes, yes. Of course, it resulted into some stampede. Actually, at the end of the whole stampeding and the race thing, I had to call one of the youth organizers and ask him if there were any injury as a result of the stampede that happened, because a lot of persons were running, they were trying so much to run. You know, a lot of people are still traumatized from last year's incident.
Yes.
So immediately there was they heard one sound and it came from the police. They didn't even stop to check what it actually was. They just started running.
Hmm.
And people even came out of their vehicles and ran. That's the whole truth. People in the buses especially that had the doors open. You know, this is Lagos
yes.
now. Uh-huh. So they started running, you know, and that was how the whole incident went up. So it was later we found out that, it was because the commissioner of police was actually in the vicinity.
Oh, okay. The commissioner of police was in the vicinity.
In the vicinity. That was why, you know,
they had to act
like
right.
that.
All right.
So that happened yesterday. What you're listening to now is at a point where the tear gas was released and people were running for their lives. If you're watching our live stream, you're seeing the same thing as well. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Now, while that was going on, like you heard from Emmanuel Onwuka, the police were doing their best to arrest protesters. And one of such people was this guy here, an Uber driver. That Uber driver was eventually let go, but protesters were not the only ones who were assaulted or harassed. He had reporters as well. This Arise TV reporter was also assaulted by the police. We watched it. If you're watching our live stream at the moment, you can also see it for yourself. The police were trying to seize their drone, the drones that they were using to capture events at the toll gate yesterday.
Hey! We can't just bring it out. Nothing has happened.
Our live stream is Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube. One of the protesters yesterday claimed to have been at the toll gate last year, October 2020, that he was one of the people who got shot. We're showing you his very brief interview right now on our live stream.
What's your name?
My name is Agnes Defany. I'm a comedian. Special soap comedies. I produce comedy skit on YouTube.
So you were shot here on October 20?
Yes, 2020.
Did you see other bodies?
Many people died. Before I was shot, one of the...
You among what?
Dead body. The third is dead. The party with dead body.
So where were you taken to?
So this is the Agnes.
Another one.
How did you survive this incident?
Because God has saved my life.
I said this when they gave me, they blocked here. So the blood that was coming now, now they did destroy my body.
So those were some of the victims, allegedly, who were at the toll gate yesterday, claiming that they too were shot last year during the protests. Now, of course, NSAS memorial events took place in other parts of Nigeria, other states, other cities, with little to no disturbance from the police. In Port Harcourt, there were marches. There was a massive crowd who turned out for a candlelight gathering. In Ibadan, we had marches as well, same as in Enugu. In Abuja, crowds gathered at Unity Fountain and other places, but there were reports of police attacking some protesters and trying to disperse them. We also got reports of an anti-NSAS group that also marched in Abuja. We also got reports from Kwara of police also dispersing protesters there. But Lagos seemed to be the most dramatic. Gwenga Motosho, the information commissioner, said that there was no justification for the way that some police officers treated some protesters. He chalked it down to overzealousness. He pointed out that the state governor has no control over the police and could only advise the police commissioner. Of course, you also saw yesterday that the police commissioner showed up at the place where people were gathered for the protests and did his best to free some of the protesters, journalists specifically who were arrested, and then apologized to the Arise TV staff who were covering the events of yesterday right there at the Lekki toll gate. So it was quite dramatic. Why are you there? Did you attend? Did you pay attention to what was going on? What do you think about what went down yesterday? Do you agree with the State Information Commissioner that the police in Lagos went overboard? Do you think that, you know, that the police even went overboard? Do you think that that's what happened here? What do you think about thousands of Nigerians in half a dozen towns coming out 1 year after the Lekki toll gate shooting to honor the fallen and to make another call for an end to police brutality? What do you think about the police's reactions to those calls? Which reminds me, there was this activist who was granted an interview. His name is Patrick Osagie Eloho. And he was granting this interview to the press. And then this happened.
And I told the Nigerian government that they are underpaid, the police are underpaid, and that in time will come, we're going to overwhelm the police, and we'll certainly overwhelm the police. And we are sure that the police have not made their mercy. Because we see that there's so much injustice in Nigeria. There are no injustice in Nigeria. Look at them, and look at their rotting again, Don't touch me now. Okay, so why are you touching me?
If you're watching our live stream, you saw how Patrick was manhandled by the police and the Lagos State Neighborhood Corps. You also heard him talking about how well the police are not well paid and more needs to be done for the police just before he was arrested by the police. Later yesterday, in the night, when he was released from police custody, he also granted another interview. Here's what he said.
You are proud of this, because I saw you speaking on camera.
The police has to pay for my phone
How did he handle you inside there? How did he handle you?
Well, you know, handling there, I don't know. That's not a question I can really respond to. But it's an eye opening, and I'm glad I was arrested today. Because they dehumanize people, you know? I mean, you are arrested, there's no place you can take a leak, there's no place you can use number two, and there's no food, there's no water. Imagine a week ago, I was in heaven, I was in Canada, and today I'm in here.
Patrick Osagie-Loho there, activist who was picked up yesterday during the protests. Lagos, call us on 01465-7190 if you're a woman. If you're a woman, 01465-7190. If you're a man, call us on 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. Of course, you can send us a message via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Now, here's what I'm going to beg before you call us. I understand that emotions are rife. I understand that you're upset, maybe. You hate what's going on, maybe. But whatever your feelings are, whatever your emotions are, please keep them on the check when you call us and do your best to not insult anybody's person. Do your best to not make insightful statements. I would hate to cut you off. So please do not give me an excuse to cut you off. Find a way to contain your emotions while you communicate what it is that you want to communicate. If you're abroad, we are on Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info FM. Let's keep each other happy and each other safe, if you know what I mean. Thank you very much. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
You see, these police people that we are backing, they don't want it. Let them suffer. Let them not pay. Let government don't pay them.
What did I just say? 99.3. Hello.
Yeah,
thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Kenneth.
Kenneth, you know you're calling the wrong line, right?
Sorry?
You know you're calling the wrong line, right?
Oh, it's in my life. Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 99.3, hello. Hello. Call us back if you can. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello.
Hi, Sandra.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm fine. This is Remy.
Hi, Remy.
Yeah. It's been 1 year and nothing has changed. And it's so unfortunate we still have people denying what happened on that day. I listened to what Lai Mohammed said and was still hell-bent on it. Tawolu himself agreed people died, though initially he denied. Then later on saying he accepted. So why is the government still saying nobody died? When Odi massacre happened, did we ask for the dead bodies? We all agreed Odi massacre happened. When Zaki Biam also happened too, we all agreed it happened. So people saying, where are the dead bodies? Where are the families? Maybe they told us a certain amount of policemen died. Are we asking for their dead bodies? They died. So let us please respect the dead. I was so angry with what I saw yesterday. And so people kept saying, maybe it was car procession. They shouldn't get out of cars. The last time I checked the constitution, I have the right to protest, either by foot or by car. So the law of the land is supreme to anything, not to the most discretion. It is the law that I must follow, and its duty is to protect me. But it's so unfortunate, that's quite the opposite to what you are getting from the policemen. All they do is attack us, and it's so unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got Medinat on the line. Hi, Medinat. Thanks for calling us.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. Where are you calling
How
us
you
from?
Doing?
I'm very well.
Zurich.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you. As a Nigerian living in diaspora, I was just livid and enraged yesterday. Mm. That's the only thing that I felt. It was just more anger and more enragement because this was a memorial service. Compared to what happened 1 year ago, the police could have just sat down, stood by, and watched these people do this memorial service without having to intervene, without doing anything yesterday. It would not have cost them anything. But it's the same thing that happened 1 year ago that happened yesterday. There were a lot of arrests. Imagine the man that was talking about payment for better police payments and stuff like that. They didn't even listen to what he was saying. They arrested him and they manhandled him. What's the point is the question that I want to ask. Like, you just showed to the world that everything that you were accused of last year, you just show to the world that it's true. Even for those that are doubting whether these killings happened or whatever, it just shows with what happened yesterday that nothing has changed after 1 year. This police did just still do the same thing. And the thing that it does to us, for example, it just scares us. I am afraid to come home, Sandra. I'm afraid to fly to Nigeria. I'm afraid for my life. I'm afraid for my family because of all of these things that we see. Nothing has changed, Sandra. Nothing. Nothing has changed.
Medina, thank you so much for calling us. We appreciate it. If you're abroad, you can join the conversation via Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. One of the protesters at the toll gate yesterday continued to ask this question.
Let the toll gate, why know they work now? Why let the toll gate is not in the state? Let them tell us who other is in the toll gate. All we ask for is good leadership. Let Nigeria and India start shooting at us as if we are armed robbers. There are people kidnapping bandits, kidnapping in Borono, in northern region. Anybody that speaks, is shoot the person. I beg you, no one wants to talk to Nigeria, said, don't put that out.
And then another protester said, well, this is the reason why we're gathered here.
We are here today to mourn, to support, to show our solidarity to the family of the bereaved man, the family of those Nigerians that lost the life of their children last year by the heartless soldiers that came here last year, exactly 1 year last year, to kill the life of the Nigerian youth. Despite the fact that we raise up our Nigerian flag to show that we are Nigerian citizens, they still went ahead to kill and claim some lives. And we are here today to show that nobody can intimidate us in this country. We hold this country together. I'm a Nigerian, you are a Nigerian. You have every right to exercise your fundamental human rights. What am I talking about the fundamental human rights? I'm talking about the right of a citizen of Nigeria to mourn either his family or relatives or friends. The police is saying that we should not converge here today. We show them that we have converged. And thank God they are there just watching us. And we are not here to destroy any property. We are not here to cause any commotion or pandemonium. We are here to show our grievances, to show how we felt that we are not happy for the life of the Nigerians, of the progressive Nigerians that were killed.
All right, Lagos, join the conversation. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, what's your name?
Yeah, Sandra, from what we saw yesterday, that really shows that our police, they are still who they are. In fact, my own statistics, that yesterday, they would have just, guide all these, people, want them, how they do everything, because they are remembering those people that, the fallen heroes. They would have just, keep dying, keep look, because they're supposed to watch them and just not to, that arrest and everything is very bad. And when they see their action yesterday was very, very bad. See, they threaten us with a gun, but they're supposed to know that they are human beings like us. They threaten us with guns. If they want this Nigeria to stabilize, one day every person will hold guns. They should not threaten us with guns. And those people that are about doing their, remembering the fallen heroes, they should allow them to do what they're supposed to have done. Please, I don't know whether police, they have ears. If they have ears, they're supposed to hear and they're supposed to know what to do. They should stop harassing people.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Well, all of that is in the past now. Happened yesterday, so there's no allow or disallow anymore. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for calling.
Alex here.
Welcome, Alex.
So I'm wondering that how do we see these people pick out the good cops from the bad cops? Sandra, I always take us back to this topic. Don't be offended, Sandra. How do you want the Canadian embassy to sieve them, pick the good ones from the bad ones? They say some are good cops, some are bad cops. I'm not after the character of the people. I'm not here to spoil anybody's character. I'm saying that the factory that produces these goods, there's something wrong with the factory. We have to stop the factory and go and set up a new factory. The Nigeria Police Force is a defective law enforcement unit. And that goes for most of the others too. You saw the Lagos State, I don't know what they call them, that joint. I was spraying pepper spray in somebody's eyes, right?
Yeah.
How do you describe it? How do we see? There's something wrong with it. I keep saying it, and I hope that the government will listen. Now, let me tell you, as for solutions, eh? There is no need trying to sort out good cops and bad cops. We have to bring down this factory. We will bring it down and now define our police the way we want to see them in the next 15, 20 years. Let's not be trying to try to resolve small problems. How he's not dressed well. He's not this, then sacking or training. No. Let's have a vision for the next 20 years. How do we want the Nigerian police man or woman to look in terms of mien and character and everything? We have to begin to build towards that. This thing, these people that we have can never deliver it. If you're not a graduate, you cannot work, you cannot be effective. That's my view of the police.
Alex, thank you very much for calling. You know, it takes believing in a country to protest for it. That's what is at the core of every protest. You have to believe in something enough to step up and say, no, I don't think that what you're doing is good enough, you know? And that's what, and I'm not supposed to say this, but that's what happened yesterday. That's what happened last year. A bunch of people who believed in their country enough to protest for the soul of their country. Let's move on to our second story. It's 3:35. It's still an NSAS story, so not to worry. For our second story, it's something that you touched on a bit yesterday with Chukwudi Ezeugu, Lai Mohammed, speaking about the NSAS protests and saying that nobody died at the Lekki toll gate last year. He called the Lekki toll gate shooting a, quote, phantom massacre in a press statement yesterday. Let me read you some of what he said. Quote, today marks the first anniversary of the phantom massacre at Lekki Tollgate in Lagos, which was the culmination of an otherwise peaceful protest that was later hijacked by hoodlums. At earlier press conferences, I had called the reported massacre at the tollgate the first massacre in the world without blood or bodies. 1 year later, and despite ample opportunities for the families of those allegedly killed and those alleging a massacre to present evidence, there has been none. No bodies, no families, no convincing evidence, nothing. Where are the families of those who were reportedly killed at the toll gate? End quote. From Lai Mohammed there. Now, if you listen to Hard Facts, I should point out a few facts on the ground. First of all, like a caller has already called in to say, Governor Sanwo-Olu is on the record saying that some people did die from injuries sustained at the toll gate. He said a couple of people died from blunt force trauma. Now, as for the minister's claim that no family or no victims or family members have come forward, we do have family members of victims who have come forward. Let me list a few. Olalekan Biggie Abedin, his mother confirmed that he went to the toll gate that day and never came back. Joshua Osai, his sister confirmed it. Abota Solomon, he was confirmed by his brother Nathaniel. He got his brother's body back and there were bullet wounds in his brother's body. Then there's Akin Kolawale, who survived the shooting and confirmed the death of a friend he made that day, only known to him as Ifanye. We have a woman who was interviewed by CNN who was talking about a child she found dead at the scene of the toll gate in 2020 when she went to carry her son's body. Her son allegedly died in her arms. Her interview is there. CNN released that report yesterday. Then we also have the Lagos NSAS panel. Remember that a group of people who claimed to have been shot at the toll gate came to the panel. Remember also that we had testimony from a Reddington Hospital doctor. He said that they received at the time 6 gunshot victims from the toll gate that night alone, and that others were brought in over the course of the next few days. Lai Mohammed also said yesterday that there was no blood at the toll gate. But again, We have video footage from the morning of the 21st showing blood before the Lagos State sanitation officials came down to clean the area. Lai Mohammed also talked specifically about the NSAS panel. He focused mainly on the testimony by the Lagos State government, which he agreed with. Now, in the past, when the federal government has been asked about other testimony from the panel, the usual answer has been, we're waiting for the panel to make its judgment, right? So, for example, when the army finally admitted that it fired shots at the toll gate, the government did not have a comment. So I want to know what you think about Lai Mohammed responding to parts of the testimony that the federal government agrees with, when in the past his position has been to refuse to comment on other testimony. Then there's the question of sensitivity. Some Nigerians have said it was insensitive of the information minister to make those comments yesterday. For many Nigerians, yesterday was a day of mourning. Take, for example, Nathaniel Solomon or Joshua Asai's family, or the families of the people whom Governor Sanwo-Olu said died of blunt force trauma. Was it okay for them to hear the federal government say that nobody died? Now, remember what I said when we started. I can understand if you're upset. I can understand if you're angry. But please keep your emotions in check when you call me. Don't insult anybody. Don't insult their persons. Just be as civil as possible. Don't get me into trouble. Thank you very much. I like having a job. Okay? We've 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Let's talk Lagos. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. If you're abroad, get in touch via Skype, Nigeria Info FM. We are streaming live on Facebook and we're showing you image after image, footage after footage of the happenings of yesterday. It's a lot. So go ahead and watch our stream today, Nigeria Info FM on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM on YouTube. Happiness Nikorodi is on the line. Hi, Happiness.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
Good to hear from you.
Same here. Welcome.
Missed you yesterday. I missed you.
I missed you too. I'm back today.
Wow. Sandra,
yes.
Why are these people treating on this week? Lai Mohammed, why is he behaving like this? He's an elderly man. He's a father, a grandfather. Can't he admit the truth? He should have said, he should admit the truth, tell the world the truth. They should stop hiding the truth. Sandra, these people are not nice. Eh? Let him know that he will leave office. He will leave office. That place is not his father's office. He will leave there. Ah, it's too much. It's too much. This is not nice at all. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for calling us. We've got Yintos calling us. Hi, Yintos. Where are you calling us from? Hello, Yintos. Hello? Doesn't look like Yintos' network is very good. Perhaps give us a call back. Hello?
Hello?
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Molden from Badagry Aziz.
Welcome.
I want to talk about this, our minister.
Okay.
I'm not happy when I had it. I was trying to call Chukwudi. At that man has no question. A grandfather, why is he behaving like this? What is commotion? When the governor even admitted the day this thing happened, and he said that this guy, that this man now said that nobody died. If you remember, there is God, this man, I was watching the NCA about some months ago. He went and was saying the grandson was telling him, that grandpa, why are they calling him like Lai Mohammed? This man was not supposed to continue causing problems. Ah, my sister, please, if you can send all these things you have said, you have the video that can send it to him. Better you believe. Why is this man behaving like this? A grandfather. Somebody is up to going to 80 years behaving like this. The family should call him in order.
All right. Thank you for calling us. We've got Prince Adeyinka on the line. Hi, Prince Adeyinka. Welcome. Hello. Okay, so I'm guessing the network in Saudi Arabia is not good because he's calling us from Saudi Arabia. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please, first of all, what I want to talk about, Abed, keep on telling people about this product card, please.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
Keep on telling people about voter card. and about Lai Mohammed, his identity, Nigeria surprise. Everybody has known him as a lie, lie somebody now. They are not surprised, but they should keep on lying. They should keep on lying. God is watching everybody. I think he has his own children.
All right. Thank you for calling us. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Well, William, now, for the rest of your life, I have not said anything truthful before. I wish him that all your family...
Okay. Remember what I said? Control yourselves. Do not call my show and make inciting statements. Don't do that. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon, my wedding.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
What I just want to say, as a 73 years of old age, as an elder man, I want to say, evil men do live before and after him, in Jesus' name. Have a nice day.
Okay. The evil men do live before and after them. All right, then. Let's take a look at our final story. Our final story takes us to Kaduna today. And in Kaduna, we have an explosion that has suspended activity on the Abuja-Kaduna rail line. That's our final story. Senator Shehu Sani claims to have been on the attacked train, and he posted on Facebook, quote, "Yesterday, bandits attacked the Kaduna-Abuja train. They planted an explosive that damaged the rail track and shattered the windshield of the train engine. They also opened fire, targeting the driver and the tank. It happened between Dutse and Rijana stations. The driver struggled to move towards Kaduna Rigasa station," end quote. Sani also posted a video which seems to show the train with burn damage. Garba Mohammed was also on the train. He's the former chairman of the Kaduna chapter of the Nigeria Union of Journalists. And he said, quote, 40 kilometers to Kaduna, we heard a loud sound and security agents asked us to take cover. A few minutes later, the security agents were moving around. We had to open the windows because of the heat and we could see the main road from the track where the train had stopped, end quote. Now, the Nigeria Railway Corporation has spoken. We heard directly from the NRC's MD, Fidet Okiria, and he disagrees somewhat with Sani's account because, according to him, there were no gunshots. He said, quote, "There was nothing like that, only an explosive that went up on the track. Are you aware that we even ran a train service this morning? There was nothing like shooting or the train by bandits," end quote. So basically, he's saying, how dare you say there were gunshots? It was ordinary explosive. Okiria is also saying that investigation is ongoing. In the meantime, activities on the rail line have been suspended. Now, while we wait for that investigation, it's been brought, it has brought the debate back about whether the armed groups in the Northwest should officially be designated as terrorists. On Hard Facts, we call their attacks terror attacks because that's what they are. But under Nigerian law, there's a mechanism called proscription, where a group is officially called a terrorist group by the government. So far, we have Boko Haram, we have IPOB in that category, but more and more voices are saying that these so-called bandit groups in the Northwest should join that list. The latest voice is Governor El-Rufai of Kaduna. He said, quote, "We in the Kaduna state government have always aligned with the declaration of bandits as insurgents and terrorists. We've written letters to the federal government since 2017 asking for this declaration because it is a declaration that will allow the Nigerian military to attack and kill these bandits without any major consequences in international law," end quote. Now, El-Rufai says his government has always supported naming these bandits terrorists. But let me take you back to what he said in July of this year when asked whether bandits should be added to the terror list like Boko Haram and IPOB. Back in July, El-Rufai said, quote, "No, no, no, no. People are comparing apples to oranges. Regarding bandits, they are not centralized under one leadership. Who is the head of the bandits? Who is the equivalent of Nnamdi Kanu with banditry? bandits are just collections of independent criminals. It is a business for them. It is not a case of Nigeria must break up. I want to challenge anyone to tell me the central leader of bandits in the same position as Kanu. End quote. So 3 months ago, El-Rufai said it was not only impossible to name them terrorists, but that they were not terrorists. So what's changed? What do you think has changed? More importantly, what do you think about this disruption of the railway? Women call me on 01465-7190. Men call me on 0700-993-993-993. We're going to come to WhatsApp in a bit, but I want to take a few calls. Kevin is on the line. Hi, Kelvin. Thank you very much for calling us.
Yes, Andre, Cecily, how are you?
I'm very well. Welcome.
Yeah. See, when I heard these things today about what the governor of Kaduna State said, I was taken aback. Because don't you, just like you started just now, you said it now, just a few months ago. A lot of distortions. I don't know whether some of these people forget when they say something sometimes. But anyway, I'm not interested in what he says and what he does not say. The issue is clear that the activities of these people are not different from the haramists. So, you know, declaring them as terrorists, it is even long over, it's delayed. They should have been declared a terrorist long ago. If they have not been declared terrorists by now, what are they waiting for? What is the difference with what they are doing and what the Boko Haram people are doing? All their activities are all the same thing with that of the haramists. But having said that, regarding your first story, I have advised everybody. We have all seen the whole thing that has played out. They are not ready to change. The thing continues. And I have advised that if the police cannot be disarmed, if they cannot allow the police to do that thing, there's other countries that don't bear arms, then the recruiting process, something must be done thoroughly when recruiting them. Because that is where it starts from. But going further, let us not translate this protest we are all, you know, that is taking place to 2023. Everybody must get their photos. Let's try and translate this protest to the ballot. We know the people that are the players in all this. We know those that are with this. We know those that are involved in all this. Let us translate it to 2023, and we'll do the needful by 2023. That's my advice for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling us. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. We've got Prince calling us from Saudi Arabia. Hi, Prince. Hello, Prince. All right, his network isn't cooperating. Let's talk to Dan in Ojodu. Hi, Dan. Thank you for calling us.
Hi, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Dan from Ojodu.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I would take it from the last story you shared regarding the Kaduna.
Mm-hmm.
And in as much as personally, I first of all agree with the governor, these people, they are nameless. Because proscribing them means anybody you see with cattle will be arrested. But they know how to get these people. Zamfara State governor did it once when they brought in a new commissioner of police. In 2019, because I was in Zamfara State, and the commissioner of police, I spoke with him, and he told me how they did it. So they know all of these people. In as much as they know all of these people, which means they know how to go about getting these people. That is for Kaduna State. Coming back to the issue of the NSAS, I think, first of all, sometimes I sit down and ask myself, it's like the Nigerian police would tell us the new law that would govern citizens and the way we should behave. Because it's surprising hearing the commissioner of police coming out after an arrest is being made. And I asked myself a question. Was there no briefing from the commissioner of police to the state police officers on how to conduct themselves? Because after all of this, the commissioner for information is saying that the police, they were acting on their own accord, and there was a phrase he used. And I asked myself, was there no briefing on how they should conduct themselves? That is one. And I think all of this change we are all clamoring for would happen if only the youth, which has the largest population in this country presently, would leave social media and vote come 2023. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dan, for calling us. All right, let's take a look at messages on social media. It's 7 minutes to 4 o'clock. Governor Al-Rufai's statement is political, as Nwoke Benjamin says, because of 2023 political ambition, nothing more. All right. David says, Al-Rufai is talking with both sides of his mouth. Buhari's government is just showing us that they're not serious about stopping banditry. All right. We've got someone who says Lai Mohammed and his comments should not be taken seriously. All right. More messages here. Sandra, yesterday was a great opportunity for the government to win at least a little part of the people's trust. But they missed the big chance and they'll never be able to gain it. It's a shame. Caleb with that message there. Caleb, thank you very much for messaging us. Sandra, if you check, this government's major allies like China, Russia, Turkey, you'll understand where Nigeria is going to. These countries do not understand what human rights are. That's what this government is emulating. Therefore, Nigerians should be aware. That's a message from Obeta Joseph, who is in Shasha. Joseph, thank you for your message. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back from this break, Lagos, we'll take more comments from social media because I think we've taken a lot of calls. I think you'll agree with me that we've taken a lot of calls. So don't go away. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
Cooking gas on the go. Download the Flash Gas app, available on Google Play and App Store.
Available only on the island.
Point 3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Manny on WhatsApp says, no police officer who has been through the ranks can reform the police. By the time you get to the IG, the system has so much corruption, you are already part of the rot. The solution rests on decentralizing the police. State policing has the best justification at this time. What irks me about the government is that they have a system that is not working, and instead of trying to change it, they blame the people, as if they don't know how the people were before they decided to run for office. Manny, thank you for your message. State policing, do you think that's the answer, especially if you pay attention to what the Lagos State Neighborhood Corps did yesterday at the tolls? Imagine a state police that behaved like those officers who work for the Corps. Just saying. We've got Inspector Idowu who sent us a message here. He says he's serving in Lagos Command. He says, one, I think the youths are confused. For God's sake, what is the meaning of memorial protest? How helpful is it to the problems facing the country? Two, they claim to be protesting in favor of the police. Why did they start killing the police? Three, the government put up a panel for so-called victims of brutality. Where is the panel for the police that got men killed? For the policemen that got killed, sorry. The so-called victims collected compensation. Why are they still saying they want the policemen to be arrested? I think the youth are confused. That's a message from Inspector Idu, who's serving in Lagos Command. Sent us a message on WhatsApp. Inspector Idu, thank you very much for your message. We've got more messages here. I think it's unfortunate we found ourselves in this situation. Arrests of this type have been a practice we've been battling with. Human rights abuses, etc., etc. With time, we will overcome. Abednego Joshua from Ogun State with that message. Abednego, thank you very much. We've got this one here from Gozie who says, I wept watching all these shots from your app now. And I saw you, my vibrant Sandra, being so cold. Nigeria has gone too far. Return, my dear Sandra. What are you on about? Oh, God. Well, thank you for that message. We've got BK Max from Alimo Show who says, Sandra, the truth is Nigeria police themselves don't want reform. It's now obvious that police brutality in Nigeria is deliberate and they're not willing to stop it. Sandra, do you think you're safe in that studio going by what we're seeing with this brutal police force? All right. Thank you for your message. Let's take a look at more messages pouring in. Sandra, what has changed in police brutality? Nothing. See what happened at Lekki yesterday. See how people were harassed and arrested. Alhaji Lai has said that it was a phantom massacre. History will judge all men. NRC said ordinary explosion, yet NRC has stopped operating. Truth will tell itself one day. Bandits don't have flags, so they're not terrorists. They keep on changing their narrative. All right, thank you very much for your message. Another message here. Youth came out for peaceful protest against police brutality and the policemen brutalized the youth indiscriminately yet again. Are we ruled by a military junta or what? Adams with that message there. All right. I think our final message will be this one from Anambra State. Emmanuel in Awka, he says, I'm actually constrained to say that I am burdened as to how all of the symbols that represent this country have been compromised and used against the people. Not only that, citizens holding our national flags were shot, but public officers legally investigating crimes are actively engaged in brutalizing the people. There's nothing in this democracy that looks or smells like democracy. Emmanuel from Awka, Anambra State with that message. That's the last message I can take on the show, but not to worry, we'll continue our conversations about NSARS at 5 o'clock. 1 year later, because, you know, 21st of October 2020, that's when the world came to terms with what had happened at the toll gate on the 20th. So let's take a look back. Let's take a look at the policemen who were killed, at the people who died, at the businesses that were attacked by thugs, including radios, TV stations. There's so much to take a look back at. And also policing itself, as well as the demands of the NSARS protesters. Have they been met 5 years, 1 year later? I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Business News is up next.